But joining us now on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline is our Avalanche insider, Adrian Dater, A-Dater, Twitter, and ColoradoHockeyNow.com. And AD, I was talking about this game before you came on, and we've seen it in hockey a bunch of times. You face a good goalie like Marc-Andre Fleury, and he's on, and sometimes this is what happens.
Yeah, I mean, Fleury was, you know, got a shutout tonight. I don't think he had to be otherworldly too much, really. The Avalanche kind of played a competent game, a pretty good game for much of the time, but they just kind of made things a little too easy on Fleury overall. They were just a little too easy going at times tonight. Decision making seemed to lack some urgency. They always wanted to try for the perfect play a little too much early on, especially. And, Vegas is a team that you can't really do that with. You got to get on them early, I think, and keep them on the defensive when they get a little confidence going, like they got after their first goal. The second period seemed like they really loosened up and played an excellent rest of the game, really. And that's why they won the game.
You tweeted this out during the game when Mikko Rantanen, of course, had a clean shot and decided to try to pass it. That pass got broken up. This is something the Avalanche tend to do at times. Every time I watch them, I think, is this team too talented? Because sometimes they try to get away with stuff that they don't necessarily need to get away with. And as it was evident that Fleury was on tonight and pretty good and maybe not otherworldly as the game went on, but had a couple saves that were just tremendous. Do the Avs occasionally get in this habit of being a little bit too clever, and why do you think that is?
I just think that they've got a lot of talented guys who really, I think they want to help out the other guy a little bit and make that fancy play instead of just sometimes just score. You just take the money when it's there. You don't always have to get a, take the 5-inning victory. You don't have to go for a complete game shutout all the time. Sometimes they just come down the wing, good chance, and they'll throw it over to the other side of the ice. Rico Rantanen did that a couple times tonight. Just shoot the puck and get rebounds. That's how most goals are scored now in the league. You rarely get these pretty multi-touch scoring plays like they tried to do a little too much tonight. It's just no killer instinct tonight, really. I thought they had a chance to come out and take control of that game early, and they just kind of overpassed themselves out of the game before you know it. Vegas thought they had a chance in the second period, and they went on to win.
Is that something that you were just mentioning there I thought that was interesting? The idea that the overpassing at times is actually, while it's not effective on the ice, it's meant from a good place, that it's an idea that it's unselfishness as teammates, right?
Yeah, it is. Sometimes it's not always by virtue. I think the Avs, some guys get a little tentative for some reason about actually shooting the puck. Seems like JT Compher suffers from that, and Tyson Jones still. The Avs continue to not get a whole lot out of their third line offensively this season. The other lines have done all some good things, but the third line still keeps not giving them enough offensively. And tonight it was Compher, Jost, and Landeskog, mostly as a third line. It's Jost and Compher, for all the talk about them working hard and everything, it's still a game of numbers and goals. And, I think those guys only combined for, two goals so far this season. Not enough. Got to get more out of them.
Now, when you look at the way that this team is finally getting healthy, are you seeing signs that things are getting back to normal? This obviously was one of those nights, but when you look at this four-game set, it kind of bisects it, because the first two games in the series, the Avs were still shorthanded a lot of people, and it came down to Saturday's sort of oddball outdoor game. Now they were getting a lot healthier. Tonight they look healthier. This is about as healthy as the team has looked all season, quite frankly.
Yeah.
How important is it that they really get moving now? They have five of their next six games are on the road.
I know. I mean, you look at the division. I mean, they're only a couple points out of not being in the top four, which would be this year out of the playoffs. They have some games in hand, though, over those other teams. I'm not too worried about the Avs not making the top four, but I'll tell you, tonight was a chance they could have had to tie Vegas in the point standings, and they would have had several games still in hand over St. Louis. for that top spot. St. Louis, I think, still led by a point tonight going into the game, but they've played way more games than the other two teams. So, you know, they have had the chance to maybe take more of a commanding position in that for first place in that division. And I'll tell you, which would you rather want have in the playoffs, Sean? Number one versus number four in this division, or two versus three, which you can pretty much guarantee are going to be either Vegas or St. Louis. And then you'd have to play probably the winner of, you know, Vegas and the number four team, you know, let's say, or St. Louis and the number four team. You want to get those guys only once, St. Louis and Vegas, not twice, if you're going to try to get to the Stanley Cup final, I think. And you know, tonight was a missed opportunity to make that a little easier, probably.
Saw some of the line shift in the game where you saw that Landeskog rejoined with Rantanen and McKinnon at times. Was this Bednar just trying to push a couple buttons to see if he could juice the offense, or is there something more to be expected there?
No, he always does that. You know, in a game where they're not scoring, he'll move Landeskog. I think Landeskog actually went back with the third line after. You know, I think he just tried up a couple things, didn't work, and for the most part, I thought the line stayed together tonight, most of the game. But Jared Bednar, the Bednar blender, he makes changes quick sometimes when they're not doing stuff offensively. I mean, you know, but he really didn't do too much mad experimenting tonight, I didn't think.
I didn't think I saw it during the game, but when you look at Philip Grubauer's situation, obviously he's the guy, and not because he's the best guy, which he is, but he's the only guy at this point.
Yeah.
When do you think he's going to have an opportunity to get a night off? Can the Avs afford it for a while?
I think it's going to be by this weekend. I mean, they've got Minnesota Wednesday night. Arguably, maybe throw Miska in there or another backup, you know, Werner in there. Maybe, you know, if you think you're going to win a game more than any other, you probably think you're going to beat the Wild Wednesday night and one of the made-up postponed games. But then they go on the road for four straight, Arizona and San Jose. I got a feeling they're going to give Groovy the one night off Wednesday. See what they can do against the Wild. Tough one out. Maybe just outscore them in a big high-scoring game and give Groovy a little more rest for next this coming weekend. You know, they're going to play the Coyotes and Sharks. Not the two best teams in the division, but, you know. And I do think that Bednar alluded to the fact that he may try to start one of those backups in the next six games. Maybe they get two of the games. You know, that seems possible to me. So he'll get some rest, but you know, I don't think Groovy's pining for a lot of rest. Though, he's, don't forget, I mean, these players have had a lot of time off in the last 12 months. They want to play hockey. Groovy, I know, likes to play. I don't think he likes to sit around too much. So, I'm not too worried. I, you know, just got to stay healthy, obviously. But I think he can handle a game every other day for the most part, moving forward. You know, he does need some rest, obviously.
We're talking with our Avalanche insider, Adrian Dater, @Dater on Twitter, and they're halfway through the season series with the Knights. I mean, they play eight times, four of them are over. We saw those four games essentially back-to-back. We'll zoom out a little bit. What's your takeaway of these two teams halfway through that season series?
Well, they're two really evenly matched teams. You know, Vegas right now has a lot of size up front. I think they have the edge there, but I think the Avs have still a little bit of speed advantage over them. You know, I think it was overall still pretty positive four games for the Avs when you look at it. They lose that first game really down their man and still a competitive game. They win the next two, including the, what I thought was a good character win in that outdoor game, you know. And tonight, you know, they came home and they just kind of maybe expected it to go a little too easily, maybe. I know that they'll say they didn't expect that, but, you know, just kind of body language maybe said that they just took the foot off the gas just a little bit. Can't really do that against this team. It doesn't look like it's going to be a battle, you know. Whoever stays healthiest and can outlast the other in that first round of the playoffs, you know, and maybe sneak, you know, maybe not have to play each other in that second series. It's going to be the winner, you know, but, very good. Two very good teams. Going to be a very, very, tight race, but right now Vegas has a 4-point lead and you got to say they're a little more momentum moving forward than the Habs.
You talked about the failure of scoring on that, on those lower lines. We just haven't had a lot of goals this year because of the illnesses and the injuries. The Avs have tried a lot of guys, you know, your Kiefer Sherwoods of the world, Logan O'Connor, a lot of guys that they've rotated in and out. Can you see a situation in which some of those guys have maybe earned a little bit more playing time, trying to get a little more out of those bottom lines?
Well, you can argue that Logan O'Connor, you know, never, you know, it's tough to take him out of lineup, but Matt Calvert all of a sudden got healthy and kind of took his spot. And I think Calvert's played well in the first couple of games. But it would be nice, I think, to see Logan O'Connor still in the lineup with his size and grit. I feel like the Avs still need more guys who want to bang out there a little bit. Sometimes Vegas, I thought, had a little more muscle advantage in this series. We'll see. You know, a guy like Valery Nichushkin, if he keeps not, you know, playing like sort of invisible like he did tonight, he may find himself on the bench in favor of O'Connor. We'll see.
Last one for you, AD. Looking at this team, obviously, you know, we're a ways away from the deadline and everything like that. And we know this is going to be a weird year for trades. But if you look at the Colorado Avalanche's roster, as you've seen it thus far, now we're 15 games into the season. What does this team still need? When you look at cup-caliber teams, is there anything that this team needs that you have not seen yet?
Well, they need a healthy goaltending. I mean, they need a top-two goaltending system against, you know, our personnel. Now, that's the thing you worry about. Right now, they're overplaying Grubauer, probably, and they've got a bona fide NHL backup goalie. That's a worry, you know, and Bednar said Granthold's still going to be out long term. I mean, all of a sudden, you know, it's like, if Grubauer goes down, the season's over, right?
So, right.
That's a little scary to think about. I don't know. I think they've got to find a way. Joe Sakic's got to maybe find a way to get another goalie in here if they think he's going to be out, you know, weeks and weeks and weeks. And it's just so too much pressure on Grubauer, and you need some more viable going into the playoffs, I think. That's the big worry.
Well, I guess let me add on one more to you before I let you go then. How aggressive should they be? Because if they don't know when Francois will be back, but they know it's long term, I mean, every single time you run Grubauer out there, there's a risk. Should they really be looking for someone, like, as of right now, should they be chasing another NHL caliber?
They don't have any cap space. They have very little cap space, so whatever they've got, guys, it's going to have to be a $2 million player, probably. So, it's got to be someone out there. I know there's some names. I mean, Devin Dubnyk of the Sharks is, I think, be a decent acquisition. Yeah. I don't think the Sharks are going anywhere. And they've got Martin Jones playing well. But, you know, I don't know. He's making $4 million. They're going to have to take some of his salary away. Tough question. Maybe Craig Anderson's kind of his third goalie in Washington. Maybe make a call to the Washington Capitals. And, you know, Lord knows Joe Sakic has gotten enough goalies from Washington over the years. He can maybe get one more. Get old friend Craig Anderson in here. Maybe throw him in the backup role. It'd be a better alternative than what they got now.
Yeah, absolutely. He is Adrian Dater. Make sure you check out all his work at ColoradoHockeyNow.com and follow him on Twitter at adater. Thanks so much. It's good to see the Avs more or less healthy again. Looking forward to checking back with you after that game against the Wild next week. Thanks.
Yep. Okay, bud. Talk to you then.
Thank you very much. Adrian Dater. And, the Wild and the Avs play on Wednesday. And as I mentioned, that's a one-off. That's just going to be one game, and then they'll go deal with the Coyotes, and it is interesting. That goaltending situation, what Adrian said there is pretty interesting. And he's right in saying so. If Grubauer gets hurt, the season's over. And when you think about the Avs stars, you'll think about Nathan McKinnon, you'll think about Mikko Rantanen, you think about Gabriel Landeskog, you may think about Cale Makar, and rightly so. But the truth of the matter is, like every team, if you don't have that backstop, you're going to have to outscore teams five, six goals a night. And as good as the Avalanche are offensively, they're not that good. Against these top caliber teams like the Knights, the Avs' biggest offensive output was 3 goals. Now, both times they got to 3 goals, they got a win. But 3 goals was the highest total that either of these teams put up in these 4-game set that they had just wrapped up tonight. So it does feel that as long as they have no idea, realistically, when Pavel Francouz will be back. You can't just run somebody out there like Miska or Werner and basically accept it as a schedule loss. Now, if you had a giant lead, if you had taken off to the kind of start that, say, the Toronto Maple Leafs had at 14-4-2, that's different. But the Avs, 15 games, 9-5-1 overtime loss. And that's perfectly fine. There's nothing wrong with it, but it's not particularly special. Like I said, they're tied with the Kings and the Coyotes, and they aren't talked at as regular cup contenders. So if the Avs don't know, and I know the cap situation is definitely an issue, but Joe Sakic may need to make a move, and that makes it tricky. Does that mean you'd have to maybe trade that goaltender at another point in the season? Maybe you need to look at trading Francouz. I don't know. But the Avs window is wide open to win the whole thing. And I know they'd be loath to move on from certain assets, but they may have to. Because to keep this window open, you cannot keep risking your goaltender, because the Avalanche saw what happened when they didn't have any in the postseason last year. When it comes to adding talent, the Denver Broncos have been hit and miss over the last few years. The folks at Pro Football Focus through ESPN worked at all the rookie classes, took a look at every single one of them, and ranked them. The Denver Broncos ranking was, let's just say, disturbing, disheartening, you name it. I'll tell you where it was and why next.